Oh, oh, oh. Oh, you got awful quiet here.
Well, you told us to.
On the air.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not on the air, good.
It says live.
Okay, well, then we're live. If you have your red book, be turning to page 208. 208, we'll sing, Are You Washed in the Blood? We'll sing three verses. Are you washed in the blood? There you go.
Jesus, for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood and the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the souls unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Number 477.
Two Song Sunday.
Sing all four of these.
Here's a spirit of vanity and pride, caring how my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's grace and blessed sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was all glory. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed that song that we just sung? It says, all two of an act. That covers all four corners of Calvary for us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God, our Father, for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and bury and rose again. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
How is everybody? How art thou?
Great.
Very good. And
we are fine.
We are fine. We are live at Dispensational Bible Church at 622 Genoa Avenue, Masson, Ohio. For those that are listening via our YouTube channel or our website, and also on the Boxcast app, if you got a iOS system, you can get the Boxcast and you can download that and watch it at home on your Roku TV or your Apple TV. So there's no getting away from us. You know, but anyway, we'd much rather have you here, right?
Amen.
Amen. It's a couple announcements. The flyers going out, we had five calls this week over some things that the flyer we sent out. We targeted 550 people within a 40-50 mile radius, and we have gotten calls, and a couple people here locally that said they're going to be visiting us, which is exciting. Also, we're going to be targeting the Facebook area, and I'll set that up to where if you're looking for a church or you type in church, it will give Dispensational Bible Church information out. So that's always good to get out. A couple announcements. Next weekend, Sherry and I will not be here, and Brother Howard Pizer will be teaching next weekend, so we want to encourage him and lift him up in prayer as he will bring us a message. And we do have able-bodied men here that we're able to teach, and we need to support the ministry in that way. So you'll probably have a flood of visitors next weekend, so be on the count of that. We are thankful for Tom and Barb and Walt for being here and opening up the building. I think you said it was open this morning. So
Walt broke in.
Oh, Walt broke in. Okay. Walt's got a key.
He didn't break in here first.
And we are a little Grace Church under law. So, but anyway, we are thankful for that. Very nice to see Walt last week. Like he couldn't be here. Both Walts wasn't here last week. We had both Barbs, but we didn't have both Walts. But Jim, it's good to see you and Maggie. So we continue to get out and about. And we hope and pray that we can continue a meeting. We know last year, I just don't want to relive last year.
No. You know? None of us.
But I'll tell you what it has done. I hope it gave me a greater appreciation of this truth and being together corporately.
Amen.
You know, because you can't separate, or you cannot substitute that camera eye with your lovely looking faces this morning. So we are thankful for that. Oh, I do want to share, Friday night, Shorewood invited me to do a Zoom. If you're familiar with Zoom meetings and stuff, they do one every second Friday of a month. And they asked me last month if I would bring a teaching. I said, you know what that is? It was Friday the 13th. You know, so guess what I did? My message was the 13 hours of pause. You know, and so they did tape it. I've got it up on our YouTube. I will put it out on one day that you can see it, or I may do it here. But it's very, very interesting. The number 13 with the United States. Number 13 with in God's Word. You know, the defile, and you know, Judas Iscariot's got 13 letters, that type of thing. So, but I did take, I took Romans chapter 1, verse 8, down to verse 16. And Paul, the word I in Paul's epistles are 456 I's. And, but the first 13 is in those couple verses. So I broke those 13 down with this epistles. And I went to Romans, Corinthians, and it went very well. So if you're interested in seeing that, it may be up on YouTube or our website, maybe in a day or two. But it was in a little intimate setting at home behind a desk type of thing. So with that being said, this keep our ministry in thought and prayers. I know many of you have spoken and unspoken requests that we talk about all the time. Let's see. Brother Morris Chestnut, many of you know him, the farmer out in Illinois. Keep him in thought and prayer too. And keep as I keep you in thought and prayer, continue on the spread of the gospel, you keep me in thought and prayer, and other ministries that stand for truth. It don't seem like there's a bunch of us, but they are a bunch of us. And as I was sharing earlier, the phone calls I got, there were 69-year-olds and above, and we need elderly people. We need people that knows this truth and be able to think, because you know what? You got children, you got grandchildren, your uncles, your great uncles. You can still give this information out to people. So I'm not throwing you away, guys. Some of you just a tad bit older than I am, and we always look for, you know, always look for younger people, don't we? Where's the young people at? Where's the people's coming up? Listen, I'm not worried about this message going forward. God preserves His word.
Amen.
God preserves His message, and somebody else picked up this message. If we die today or tomorrow, somebody else has this message. You know, we can find it in truth, and the truth is out there, and we say this all the time about the world being dark out there. It don't look any better, does it? And I'm not going to get political on you or anything like that, but it seems like this administration that is ahead of this work in this government right now are more in line with Romans chapter 1 than any other administration there is. And if you read Romans chapter 1, the things that they're promoting, you know, it's not good. That's why God gave them up. God gave us up, not because our sin, but to our sin. And we became reprobate minds, and there's governments all over the world that's been doing this for a while. You know, but the thing is, this seems like it's more magnified more so than ever. You know, the things that they're trying to teach your kids and all that stuff. Whose responsibility is to teach kids?
Parents.
And we should be backing that and understanding that. But anyway, keep that in thought and prayer. So, let's go to prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you give us. And as we think about the things that's on our hearts and minds, Lord, the spoken and unspoken, that we can be mindful of who you are. And you tell us to lift things up to you, and in doing so, it gives us peace. And Lord, I'm thankful for the saints that are here today, that they're eager to continue to push forward with this truth in this world that seems unpleasant, but yet we know that that being in you is what we need to be, and that people needs to find truth. Your flatware is. Do you just throw them in there?
No.
Some guys may. some women may. You know, if you're camping, you might just throw them all in a thing or wrap them up. No, you've got the spoons. You've got big spoons, little spoons. You've got long forks. You've got short forks. You've got knives. It's designed, and you put them in a way, it's dispensationalist, right? So we got to think about that, and as we study the Word of God across the board, we're in lesson 18, and where we have come across, and when was that last lesson? We were in lesson 17. We was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He was doing things, and how He withdrawed Himself from the nation Israel. That He, when He gave the parables about the wine press and stuff like that, He told people that. When he lended out the husbandry and He gave them the job to do, and He sent the guy down there, they killed him. And they beat up one, they murdered another. And He said, well, over here on earth, okay? That's what they're, man, but did they know it all at one time? No, they progressively learned things as they went forward. Even the dispensation of law with Moses. You have the dispensation of promise from Adam to Moses, from Moses to Paul is the law, dispensation law. From Paul to the rapture is a dispensation of, what are we in?
Grace.
And then from after they're catching away, you have the dispensation of the kingdom. That's what all this is part about. And then after that's all said and done, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 talks about the dispensation of the fullness of times. So it can keep going, guys. The fullness of times, when God fulfills, brings everything back under His headship and gives it to His Son, and He will govern a new heaven and new earth. We might talk about that in a little bit. The structure of your Bible is the progressive revelation is issues in, like I just shared, basically, times past, but now in ages to come. In times past, many of us know, and you're probably thinking, oh Lord, He's going to talk about Ephesians chapter 2. Do y'all ever talk about anything else? Yeah, we do, don't we?
Amen.
But the thing is, if you don't get this in your mind frame, and those who are listening and studying with us, you won't get this. You won't understand this. And in my religious upbringing in times past, nobody showed me that I was alien. Nobody told me I was a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Nobody told me that. But I was. You know, that, and that's what God was back here to the Gentiles. So when times passed, the distinction between the nation of Israel and the Gentiles, what do we call this up top line up here? The circumcision. And that's who God dealt with. This is, if you look at this chart right here, this line right here is the true line of Israel. And this down here is us Gentile nations. And God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. And when that distinction is done away with, where there is no distinction, where do you find out that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile?
Paul's epistles.
So it's not that the distinction that Paul talks about the body of Christ, a lot of people want to elevate the Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ up here in this top line and make them spiritual Israel. That's an error. Many of you know this, but then when you get this time period right here, it's but now. And then the man in times past, like I just shared a little while ago, a man in time past, when he looked for the hope, the blessed hope that Abraham looked for, did Abraham have any issue about taking his son up there and sacrificing his son?
No.
He said, no, Lord, that's my only son. Do you promise? No. Mm-hmm. Why?
He knew
why
he
didn't he have an issue with that?
You've got to have to raise him up.
He knew he'd see him again.
He can't resurrect him. Promise.
Yeah, and that's the issue when you mentioned. And he went out and stayed, what, 40 years? 40? Come back, and then they received him. What did they do to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did they receive him at first?
No.
They rejected him. They come back over here, guess who's going to receive him? Israel. Mm-hmm. So that's some things like that. And the Holy Spirit came upon the little flock at Pentecost, and the book of Acts is where they get that renewed repentance. Remember, when we was talking about some things, the first part of Acts, chapter 2, they're at Pentecost. Do you ever count the number of nations there at Pentecost, or nations in, you know, have you ever count the number of people in at Pentecost? There's 15 nations there, and they're all Jewish. Because I guarantee you, unless you like to party with the Jews, you Gentiles wouldn't go be at Pentecost. Pentecost is a party day for after the
Passover.
See, that, what did the Gentile know about Passover?
Nothing.
So Pentecost, it was Jews there, and Peter was telling them, you with wicked hands have crucified the Lord, what shall we do? That pricked their heart. He said, repent, be baptized, remission of sin, and you're speaking tongues, or not tongues, the Holy Ghost. Okay? So that's not the death, burial, resurrection. We know that. Mm-hmm. Then in Acts chapter 3, he's talking to the nation of Israel and said, you did it ignorantly. You know, so that he took a murder indictment in Acts chapter 2 and made it a manslaughter offense so they would repent. It's a lesser penalty, if you will. So that offering and that renewed repentance that was given to Israel, but what happened to them? What do we find out in Acts chapter 8, 9, 10, 11?
They fell.
Had they stumbled, that they fall, God forbid. Want to know more. The prophetic program is interrupted by the mystery program. Now, I like to think about it with the opposite way. Because if God had this program hidden in himself before the foundations of the world, what interrupted that program?
Israel's program.
Prophecy program. Mm-hmm. But we always talk about this program interrupted this program, which it did. But at the same time, if this was thought of for that, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Was, yeah.
Yeah, so you could do it either way. But the thing is the information in the mystery program is found only where? In Romans through Philemon. That's why this catching away, which a lot of churches don't like, the catching away is a mystery event, the body of Christ. They know that this resurrection was going to happen over in Tribulation. So Romans through Philemon contains the doctrine that is infected today. After the dispensation of grace is over, what books comes into play?
Hebrews.
Hebrews through Revelation. We call them the Hebrew epistles. Okay. Wonder who they were written to.
Hebrews.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So that's some things we need to really put in our frame of mind for some. And we know that the process of reviewing to help them understand to get the big pictures is now being played. We went through this times past. We're going through but now and ages to come. They're going to use these books right here to identify where they're at, what they need to do, and apply it to Romans. And I found things in Romans. I think God that your faith was spoken of throughout the whole world in Romans chapter 1 verse 18. What do you know about the book of Romans?
It's doctrine.
Doctrine of what? Justification by what?
Faith.
Wow. And then he goes on down there like, I will not have you be ignorant. That lines up 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What do you know? Every chapter in Thessalonians chapter 1 has to do with the catching away. Every chapter ends with talking about coming of Christ, taking you out of here. And he says, I will not have you ignorant, brethren. That's it. We don't want to be ignorant. I've been ignorant. I've been called ignorant. You know, I just don't want to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a difference between willfully ignorant and being ignorant and willfully. When you willfully ignore this truth, that's dangerous. That's where pride lifts up. You know what I mean? Pride gets up and say, look at me. I can do this. I can study this. I can do this. Don't be ignorant. That's supposedly the biggest denomination out there, right? That's a little joke. The earthly ministry of Christ is to the nation of Israel found in the books of what? Where do you find
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the presentation of those books in order is to preserve and reveal the spiritual significance of what he's doing. I'm lining up to the fact that I don't want to jump ahead a little bit, but we're going in specific ways, correct? I think many of you know that. And the way that the nation Israel, the way God laid out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the way the Lord Jesus Christ was taught in Matthew, Luke, and John, there's no way that Israel as a nation should have had not a knowledge he's the Messiah. Okay. He might have done miracles, but they might have said, nope, he's got to be the man. We'll see that in a minute. He's got to be the Davidical branch. He's got to come from this. And they tested him, and there's no way in the world that they should not have seen this. Now, I know you and I see it clearly. Okay, even when you take off these glasses and you're blurry, you can still see that clearly, or you should. But when Israel begins to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, They should have been no doubt in their mind that the one that they're reading is the Messiah, and it takes those four books to demonstrate the Messiah and all his fulfillments. Now, many of you have been taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Many of you probably tried to live Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hadn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And how have you done? Not too good. Mm-hmm. You're most miserable. You give up. Well, I can't do that. I'll throw the Bible aside and go on your merry way. How many's done that? Yeah. You know, we're all guilty in that sense, in a way. So the four, so when you think about that, the four is the number of the earth. There are four corners in the earth. There are four points on the compass. There are four dimensions. There are four seasons. There are four parts of the day. Four is a number stamped on creation everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. We study about A.T. Robinson's Life of Christ book and the harmony of the Gospels. How many's heard that? The Gospels, it's just flowing harmony. There's no harmony. Sequence order, okay, that God put out there for that. No man could identify the harmony of that. They're written for, go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. About time to hear some pages turn, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament, there are four titles that are given to Messiah, and they are the branch titles. And these four titles identify the Messiah under the title of the branch. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And they shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, speaking about the Messiah, the prophet gives the Messiah the name of what? The
branch.
Is that little, is that uppercase or lowercase? Okay, that's the proper noun. That's the title given to the Messiah, just like Christ, just like King of Kings. And one of the titles is the branch. He is the branch. And interesting to know that he has four different branch titles in this. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. You're probably thinking, what in the world does this have to do with fundamentals of dispensation? You need to know these books. You need to know how they're laid out. So when somebody tells you, how many know what, I don't want to give it away, but you know what Matthew portrays Jesus as?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a reason for that. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will rise unto David a righteous branch, see a big B, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice where?
In the earth.
In the days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. This branch is going to be from whose branch?
God.
David to him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. The Messiah will not only be Davidical branch, nor only my servant the branch, but he's also known as the what? The man, the branch, whose name is the branch. You see that? There's three titles right there already, three people. Now Isaiah chapter 4, stay in Zechariah, get Zechariah chapter 9, and Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escape of Israel. So he will be the branch of David, the king. He is to be my servant, the branch. He will be the man who's called the branch. In addition, he's going to be the branch of the who? The Lord. See that? So four branch titles there. Who's that talking to about?
Jesus.
You know it to be Jesus, right? Now those four branch titles are designed to match four statements that tell the nation Israel, behold their Messiah. And the four statements were Isaiah 2, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, and whom my soul delight. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. What's this one? Jesus is first coming. It's what? Behold my
servant.
Israel is now to behold their king and their servant of the Lord. And Matthew and Luke, when Jesus is baptized with John, the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove, and the Father is saying, this is my beloved Son, who I am what?
Well pleased.
And you compare that with the phrase in the Scriptures, mine elect, in whom my soul delight. He puts his spirit in him. Okay? And the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he has come, Israel was told to behold the servant of the Lord. Did they do that?
No.
Not as a nation.
Yeah.
Okay? As there's some individuals did. You with me? I believe that wholeheartedly. No matter in the dispensation of the grace of God, there's people who hold the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, and there's just a handful. Well, That handbook will be millions.
The remnant.
You know, the remnant, there you go, even better, okay? But so I'm not afraid that there's not 115 religious denominations out there, members of those that don't understand this. Should they? You talking about no. 6:12 says, and speaking to them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. So when he behold the king, the servant, and now behold the man whose name is the branch. The branch and behold statements are what? The same. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're the same. And literally, what the behold statement says is, behold your Messiah, behold the branch. And one title is the king. If you call Jesus Christ King of Kings, does that pretty much settle it on all the kings?
Yeah. Right.
You know, mm-hmm. You could be the king of Israel, or king of Ireland, king of, you know, that type of thing. You know what? He's the king. And another, the servant, the man. And Isaiah 40 verse 9 says, behold your God. Isaiah 40 verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto your cities of Judea, behold your God. He's covering all them branches. He's covering all them offices. And we repeat the behold statements and the branch statements, and the branch titles are four. And the reason they're four gospel accounts is the fact that they're four facets of personalities of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the four views of Christ, Israel's Messiah, and they are to look for. There's no mistake. You know as well as I know, will present the man whose name is the branch. And John presents the branch of the Lord. Matthew says, behold your king. Mark says, behold my servant. Luke says, behold the man. And John says, behold your God. And the four pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ are designed to present him to the nation Israel as their Messiah. That's what they're looking for. Hey, Peter, who do you say I am? Well, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say this. Who do you say that I am? What'd he say?
The Christ.
The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. So who told him that?
Holy Spirit.
He got a revelation from the Holy Spirit that God the Father told him, that's the Messiah. Wonder where he found that at. In his Word. Jesus Christ was the Word. He was speaking the Word. Sometimes I wonder what it would have been like to walk around that time. Would I have been one of those rebellious people that would, you know, he ain't the one. Crucify him. Or would I have been the one like, he's the one we're looking for. Have you heard about this guy? You know what I mean? Would I have swapped to him? The four pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ are designed to present him to the nation, Israel. Why four? And not some other figure. The reason it has to do with Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse, go to Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 5. Ezekiel has been called up in a vision into the throne of God. See, Paul's not the only one that's been there. There's been other prophets and people went to the throne of God and seen what, you ever notice what Paul says? I knew a man, whether in the body, out of body, I cannot tell.
Right.
You ever thought about that for a second? He gets called up in the third heaven where God Almighty is. He says they spoke things he can't utter. He can't say, he can't tell you. Mm-hmm. But he looked at himself like in the body, out of body, I can't tell. So what does that tell you when you die?
You still have a body.
The soul is this, what this figure, what you are. You have hands, feet, looking at yourself like, wait a minute. Am I in a body, out of body? Now, some of you probably have out of body experiences every night. I don't know, or every morning, whatever the case may be. But it's think about that for a second. So other people's been up there, seen that, and Ezekiel chapter 1, He's been caught up to the throne of God. He sees the Lord, and he sees the throne room, and he sees four living creatures around there. Verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 5. Declaring himself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the person of Christ, you'll find him expressing himself in these four creatures in Ezekiel. Verse 10. And the likeness of the faces, the four had the face of man, the face of lion on the right side, and they had a face of an ox on the left side, and they four had a face of a what? Eagle. They had a face of a lion, which matches who? The king of what?
King
of the beast. And then the face of an ox, which matches the servant, mm-hmm. the beast of burden. Then he said the face of a man and the face of the eagle. The eagle soars in heaven, that matches God. And man will match man. And the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of who?
Judah.
So he is God. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, throughout creation. Notice the creatures, they're still present in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, John is called up into the third heaven, into the presence of God, before the throne of the Father, in the same place Ezekiel was. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 6. And behold, the throne, there was a sea of glass. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, likened to crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and around about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I used to think my mom had eyes in the back of her head. You probably did too. Didn't you? Your kids probably thought, something. How do you know what I'm doing? I know you. but anyway, round about, and the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast like the face of man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. And the four represents the creatures that are around the throne of God. And you'll find the line matches perfectly with the king in the book of Matthews. Think about the fifth gospel, and it's according to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ according to Apostle Paul. Now the fifth gospel, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul talks about the seed of David, Israel, my gospel, the body of Christ. Okay? He's talking about my gospel, the seed of David, talking about Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there yet, but if you're still in Ezekiel, I want you to be in Ezekiel. But Romans chapter 16 talks about the mystery, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. I establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was not made known. Okay? But kept secret since the world began. Now the fifth cherub. Now we just read how many was around the throne of God. Four of them, right? Mm-hmm. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. The four cherubims with four faces. Ezekiel chapter 10, Matthew king, Mark servant, Luke man, John deity. Been read that. Ezekiel chapter 28. You there? Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, the king of Tyrus is Satan in the earth. You got a prince of Tyrus and a king of Tyrus. And saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thou covering, the stone at what? Cherub that covered. So Satan in original function, he is the fifth cherubim that covers the other four. So you had four around God, and then you had one above God. What do you know about Lucifer? What's verse 15 say? You're in 28:15. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee.
Mm-hmm.
He looked down, see a glass, seen his beauty, pride. Iniquity. Okay, that's why the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The pride that's going on out there in this world is destroying this country and destroying many of us. But he lifted up, so thou was perfect. So what did that cherub do? He falls. Mm-hmm. You with me? Mm-hmm. He was anointed to be anointed. He was appointed to be anointed as a cherub that covers. Lucifer was the light barrier to take that glorious light and the glory of God throughout creation. He was the top and the leader of a worship service. You ever notice what a lot of leaders in churches do eventually?
They fall.
They go out and create more stuff. You know, go out and buy airplanes. You know, we was here for 20-something. I never did get my driveway painted. Or what does that tell you guys something? You're not tight. I want you W4s up here before you leave this week. Just joking, guys. Make show. And Lucifer wanted to be like the Most High God. That's Genesis chapter 4. The Most High God is possessor of what? Heaven and earth. That title only belongs to one person. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus Christ. But who would Satan want to be that possessor, right? He want to be that type of thing. Hey, you know there's people out there that teaches you in these institutions that you can be the God? Yep. You know, you experience that every day. Professing himself to be wise.
Wise. Being fools.
What's a professor? What do they profess? I'm wiser than you. Four cherubims revealed through prophecy. Four branches. Four behold statements. Four gospels accounts. Now something to think about. What I want you to think about in your times outside of something else. I tell people all the time, Dan probably agree with this. When you look at the world through a windshield, you can solve a lot of things out there. You got a problem, call me. I'll settle for you. I'm not sitting behind a desk, a plow, whatever. When you're sitting in the world through a windshield, your mind works constantly at things. And you got things coming at you night and day that you have to deal with. This is just, I don't want to say butter on a biscuit, but this is honey on a biscuit. When you can know this truth and be able to help somebody understand the Word of God right and divided. But something I want to think about, the creatures that you've seen around that throne of God, okay, that are not around the throne of God up there right now. It wasn't in there when Ezekiel went up there. It wasn't around there when John was up there. There's a group of creatures out there, and you might have heard me talk about this in the past, but think about that. What creatures was not identified up there? Go ahead, turn there, but I'm going to share it with you. I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed, and there is no more sea. Mm-hmm. They will be behind. That's why he says he's not going to flood the earth. You know that. He promised mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. You think God lies?
No.
He promised that. So what does he do when he comes back over here? Scorches it. Burns it. It's going to purify it. And then the lake of fire out here is going to be burning. You with me? They ain't going to have no water to hide in no more. So when Satan's gone, could that be God will replace the fifth cherub with the body of Christ? Where are we supposed to be seated at? There's an empty place in the position of the fifth cherubim. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Time brought to completeness. Time brought for completeness. Verse 8. Wherein we have abound. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Wherein hath he abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. What's he going to do?
Bring us all together.
Bring us all together. All things in heaven and earth, 18 says that the head of all things in verse 16. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that he might have preeminence. So think about this for a little bit. You don't have to, you know, I'm not going to give you the right foot of fellowship if you don't believe this. But think, Matthew the king, Mark the servant, Luke the man, John the deity, Paul the head, the Lord. So there was one time 5 cherubims up there. And we're going to replace those fallen angels. I do believe that. That's why Paul, this mystery program is very important. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Preeminence not recorded in prophecy on how Jesus is going to accomplish this in the heavens. How is Jesus Christ going to accomplish this program if it wasn't told back over here? He revealed it to Paul. Progressive revelation we're talking about. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Listen, when Jesus Christ was raised, he went to the heaven up here. Then he went far above all principalities. So he's far above everything right now. See, who's in control of first and second heaven?
Prince and power of the air.
Prince and power of the air. Satan is. Jesus Christ is far above that. This is what he don't like. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You stay in first Ephesians chapter 1 and get 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
First or second?
Get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read Colossians chapter 2. Headship over all the government. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Mm-hmm. Are you complete in Christ?
Amen.
Yes. If you're complete in him, where's he at? Above all principalities and powers. His body is going to be placed above all a lot of things out there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Church placed in authority in the heavens, just as God will give authority to it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would have not have crucified who?
The Lord of glory.
That's a big title, guys.
Yeah.
The Lord of glory. And you only find that in Paul's epistles. So it's this secret kept about the cross work and the temptations that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Luke, and the kingdoms of the earth, Paul presents the temptations of the heavens. We got the temptations of him on earth. There's a temptation up there that the prince of power of the earth is doing. Why? Why would they not have crucified the Lord of glory if they knew this?
Well, because Satan would no longer possess the heavens.
The heavens. He didn't care about, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world, just bow down to me.
Mm-hmm.
He still had those positions up there that he came out of that third room of heaven, but he was still in those positions up there. You with me? He was still a cherubim. He wasn't anointed God, but not known. Luke, they didn't understand these things. John, no knowledge. Understanding becomes Isaiah, his people. That's what they understood, his people. A ransom for many. When he says this blood is a ransom for many in Matthew chapter 20 and that type of thing. It was for many. It wasn't for all. It's for the nation of Israel on this earth. Bless of Israel so the blessings of Israel would flow to others, the world. Peter on the day of Pentecost said Christ was raised to sit on David's throne. Timothy talks about sinners. Timothy talks about all, not Israel, that he died for all. You don't get the full message and the knowledge of what that cross accomplished until you get to Paul. And that's us, that's everybody. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And then in due time, Christ raised up Paul. It'd be the due time testator. You ever thought about that one? Paul's message wasn't in due time back here. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. We assume Lucifer's former position. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit to war with religion, war with... But when you start the Word of God, believe the Word of God, right, divide it in the King James Bible for the authorized speaking of the English people, okay? You're in a war. It gets serious. Many of you know this. It does get serious. And sometimes we just back off and don't want to face the arrows. Some of us steps up. There might be a time, and this may be coming sooner than what we think. If they go black on us with communications, whatever, and shut you down, you can't meet here, you can't meet there, how many of us is going to take that step and say, we're meeting? We're tired. You know, we're not... But some of us say, you know something, I'm just going to, I'm with you. I'll pray for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, they're talking about having one good man out there in that leading. You know, there's been people in battle all the time. Paul. The things that Apostle Paul went through. You know, somebody mentioned the other day the deep and shipwrecked and all that stuff. You know, just think about that. That's nothing compared to all... broke a nail because I made a phone call today. They rejected me. But the prophetic program, it's four. And we'll pick up that next time. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any questions or comments before we turn the... Yes, Maynette.
Okay, so Satan cannot go up to the third heaven. Is that correct?
I don't think he can. But some say he can. Well, in Job, he says, where have you been? I've been walking to and fro. But I'm thinking the Mount Transfiguration, where the 12 and 24 elders, is not the throne of God. I think it's set off the side. And I know in a mountain on earth, Mount Zion, where did Moses go?
Zion.
I think that was heaven on earth. That's why God was up there. And they went there.
Mm-hmm. No matter how many times I push it.